It's Morning Edition on WNYC. I'm Michael Hill. The legacy of lynchings is deeply rooted in American racism, but much of that history has centered around lynchings in the South. A new project at New York University hopes to change that narrative and remind people this kind of violence happened everywhere, even in New York State. Rachel Swarns is an associate professor of journalism at NYU and leads the New Lynchings in the North Project. And Samantha Donderlinger is an undergraduate student working on the initiative, and they both join us now. Rachel, would you lay out what this new initiative is trying to accomplish?
Absolutely, and thank you so much for having us. You know, I think there is this narrative that we have in the United States. When we think about lynchings, you know, we think about the South. But racial violence and lynchings in particular happened here too. And I think it's really important for Americans to know that and to reckon with that history.
What work has been done so far?
Basically, this year, I have students working on investigating some of these cases of lynchings in the North. In the fall, they looked at cases in Maryland and Pennsylvania. And this semester, they're looking at Kansas and Illinois. And the idea is to dive into archival records, newspapers, census records, and to write obituaries, to write about the lives of these people. And in a broad and complete way, and in a way that never happened when they were killed.
Have any of these stories been written yet?
They're working on them.
One of the lynchings detailed in your project took place in Port Jervis, New York, right on the border with New Jersey, Delaware, and Pennsylvania. I gather your discovery of that lynching is what led you to this project. Rachel, tell us more about it.
That's right. You know, I was born and raised here in New York City, and I never knew that anyone had been lynched here. And I stumbled across this when I first started teaching at NYU, and I was kind of like, a lynching in New York? How did that happen? How didn't I know? And the man who was killed in 1892 in Port Jervis, as you mentioned. He was accused of assaulting a white woman, a charge that he denied in the moments before his death.
Samantha, you've been investigating a case in Kansas. What have you found there?
Great to be here. So I was investigating a case of Fred Alexander. He was lynched in 1901. And similar to the Port Jervis case, he was accused of assaulting two white women, and the father of one of the women led the lynching mob. And he again denied the claims and defended his innocence until the lynching.
Samantha, what does the process look like for learning more about one of these lynchings?
To start, I began just by Googling, you know, Fred Alexander and the date to see what popped up on Google Scholar. There wasn't a lot, unfortunately. Uncovering the details was really quite difficult. So I started in Ancestry.com and started going through some records, started going through census data, military records. What I found was a lot of inconsistencies in how people were tracking the data. So when I was tracking the data, I found that his name was spelled incorrectly, and he was logged under Fred Alexandra, and all of the other relatives and all the dates matched up under that name, and that's where I could find his military records and some of his census data that actually helped piece together some more of the more prominent details. But if I hadn't found that inconsistency, I don't think I would have been able to write an obituary based off of the information that was just under his legal name.
Rachel, I got to ask about those roadblocks and those inconsistencies. Is that common because these were, for the most part, black people being lynched?
Unfortunately, you're absolutely right. You know, when you're looking at these kinds of cases, you're really piecing together snippets. We're looking at newspaper accounts, and often these accounts are pretty biased. You know, they are assuming the guilt of the lynching victim. We uncover a lot of errors in the reporting. And, you know, folks weren't written about, don't always appear in the records. And so I've charged my students with writing about these victims and their lives. And one of the things that they find is that that is not easy to do. And it speaks to how these folks were marginalized in life, too, right?
What role did journalists, newspapers, and newspaper publishers play in creating the social climate for these lynchings?
So, I mean, I think that's a really important part of the process that I want my journalism students to think about. You know, we're using these newspaper accounts as documents, as sources of information, but they see immediately the bias that appears in many of these accounts. And I really want them to wrestle with the role that the media played, and Northern media too, in perpetuating stereotypes and sometimes even condoning this kind of violence.
Is there any parallel to the kind of activity that took place in lynchings to what has happened in modern times in the last, even the last decade, the last few years?
I'm not a historian, I'm a journalist, and so my interest in this history is not just for history's sake, it's for, you know, its legacies and how we live with the legacies. So my students are, in addition to mining archival data, are reaching out to the communities, people in these communities right now, to understand and see how these communities are grappling with it. Certainly students in my classes have talked about, you know, the number of cases where, you know, Black men and women have been killed at the hands of the police and finding parallels there. But these are questions that we wrestle with in class because, again, this is not history that is long gone, and we wrestle with it because, you know, it lives with us in many ways now.
Rachel Swarns is a journalist, professor, and the director of Hidden Legacies, Slavery, Race, and the Making of 21st Century America, an initiative at NYU. And Samantha Dundlinger is a student and multimedia journalist. Thank you both for discussing this.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.